On the back of the news sheet, if you're cunningly observant, you'll know that I write something on there. If you've never seen it, well, now's your chance, you know? And usually it's pertinent to what might be being said during the month. Not always the first of the month, but this month. And I started off with, I will build my church. These are the words of Jesus. And I want to talk today about the wider community, but particularly the churches and the churches in the town and the way in which God so loves them and wants us to love them too. So, the kingdom of God is about, when we say his kingdom come, what it means is relationships. Because the kingdom of God can be summed up by just relationships. It is about, if you want to advance the kingdom, it's going to be about starting relationships. You might want to come down onto the Soethouse Fields and meet someone you've never met. That might scare you a bit, but that would be building the kingdom. You might want to see someone who you've been struggling with and get it sorted out. You could mend a relationship. That would be building the kingdom. Or you could just strengthen a relationship. You could come back and you could just get some people and find out a bit more about them. That is the kingdom. When it says, don't store up treasure for yourself on earth, but treasure in heaven, the treasure that you're taking to heaven is one thing. It's your relationships. Because that's the only thing that's still going to be there in heaven. You're going to get a new body. You're not going to have your sports car. Sorry. You know, pets, half and half, you know. Some people are shaking their head emphatically. No, 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 no. Except that my God is so creative. I just reckon he loves my cat so much that he's made a bigger and better version up there that can talk. And we're going to have lots of fun together. Okay? So theologically, you can go away and think about that. But you see, heaven is better than what we can imagine. At the end of 1 Corinthians, I was at a funeral this week, and it talked about, you know, when you put the seed in the ground, what comes out from that seed, you can't imagine. You can't imagine what a tomato looks like by looking at a tomato seed. When you put that little seed in the ground, you can't imagine what comes out. And that is something of the difference between heaven and earth. We're looking around at us, but actually heaven is so much better, more than you can imagine. And I can imagine talking cats, giant talking cats. We're going to take our relationships there, you know? And if we haven't made any, we're going to start making relationships. And if we haven't, that's what it's going to be about. And I'm excited about that prospect. But when we talk about bringing his kingdom to earth, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about theological rightness. We're not talking about a knowledge of the Bible or knowledge of God. We're talking about relationships. You know, many of us prayed this week and about the referendum. And for me, the issue was unity. I believe Scotland's a fantastic nation, and I have no doubts about it, that if they wanted to, they could run their themselves and everything else. But I'm delighted that we're working together. I'm delighted that we can celebrate our differences and still be united, because that's relationship. Relationship is not about agreeing with each other. And the danger is that this will fragment or relationships fragment to just those you agree with until it ends up with you. That is hell. Hell is you with your neighbor, but you can't get along. So you decide to build another house, and he decides to build another house. And if you've read C.S. Lewis, hell's picture is of a vast, empty loneliness of darkness with a dot there and a dot there of people living on their own because they can't get on with each other. God's not there, so they can't relate to him. and they can't get on with each other. That is hell. And if you know, if you're in those situations, it's, you know, that's not the kingdom of God. So I'm happy that we're part of the union. You know, and I'm happy that we won't descend into factions. I mean, I'm from Cornwall, and most of the Cornish, yeah, I've got a sticker on the back of my car that says, no pasties left overnight in this car. I haven't, but, you know. I think as a Cornishman, I should be sent one on a regular basis. They've just been given, you know, European status. You know, everyone could claim they're different. Some of them are. It's great to see Margaret back. She's very different. She's one of our Welsh sisters. And we love it. You know, we love being diverse. And that's what it's about, being in unity, but by being diverse. So, what does the Bible say about all of this? Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defiles many. If you don't live at peace with people, they can miss the grace of God. You're so busy fighting with them over their theological or whatever differences or fashion sense or the car that they drive or the paper that they read that they miss the grace of God. It says in the Message that one thistle can spoil a whole garden. You know, I've got an obsession with dandelions in a good way, that I don't like them. And it's not that I don't like them. It's kind of, you know, when I see a field of dandelions, I think that's fantastic. I just don't want them in my garden. And so when I see that yellow flower, I don't think, oh, look at that, that's a fantastic yellow flower. I think, if I don't do something quick with that, I'm going to have yellow flowers everywhere. And that's a little bit what this verse is saying. It says, if you don't live at peace with people, you think it's just one situation, but that situation is like a dandelion. It bursts bitterness and dissension, and suddenly you've got chaos everywhere. It's important that you live at peace. You make every effort. Last week we were talking about making every effort to be at rest, to be connected to God, to be have His the fruits of the Spirit flowing through you. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. So if you're connected to God, if you're grafted into the vine, then peace is going to flow out of you. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? You know, are you someone who damps down the flames, or are you someone who stirs them up? Are you someone who's always taking sides, or are you someone who you can be passionate, but you can still make for peace? You know, I'm passionate about lots of different things, but not to the point that I'm going to argue with someone else about it, because that's not making for peace. So, of course, you know, I'm very keen on Arsenal. And I can see Nick smiling. But you see, Scotty has got his arms folded and is twitching nervously because he loves Tottenham. But me and Scotty are good friends because we're not going to let that get in our way. Well, at least I'm not. Scotty's working on it. So one day Scotty will be able to celebrate like I did, that, you know, 3-0 is a good result. And Verna, you know, I'm going to stop now, otherwise I'm going to get into trouble. You get the idea. Look, I'm not that worried about it that I'm going to cause people trouble. Later on in the Bible it says, don't get so hung up on what you eat that you're willing to have an argument about it. We should do this, we should do that, we should do the other. Make every effort to live at peace with all men. That's the challenge. All men, not just those who you agree with. Oh, I get on like a house on fire with those who agree with me. Yes, but it's not those people that you're struggling with. First of all, you've got to be at peace with yourself. I mean, that's what God was doing today. He was giving us peace. Because actually, sometimes that's the hardest thing. Actually, knowing that you have peace yourself, and that's a challenge in itself. But before you start trying to give something out, make sure you've got it. You know, if I'm standing here advertising that come and have a drink of water, I've got to have some water to give. If you want to say, oh, taste and see that God is good, if you're going to be a delivery system for the kingdom of God, you're going to have some of it flowing through you. So people go, how are you doing that? How are you being peaceful when you shouldn't be peaceful? You're in the middle of a house sale, the chain's just about to collapse, and you've got a smile on your face. That's the peace of God. You know, the bank balance says nothing or less than nothing, but you are still being generous and being positive and not worrying. That's the peace of God. And first of all, you've got to get that starting to flow through you. And you do that by knowing how good God is and knowing how much he's got for you and knowing how supernatural that is. Peace in your family. I mean, it's truth. All men, that starts with your family. That's sometimes the hardest one. It's the closest, but it's also the hardest. But he wants you to have peace in your families. Make for peace. Create situations that bring about peace. And as much as it's in your power to do something about it, do something about it. It's very easy, you know, on the way to church to lose your peace. We almost did this morning, you know. Tanya didn't. I did. Sorry. I nearly lost it this morning. Tanya was filling, you know, doing stuff, important stuff at the picnic. And, you know, but I was thinking about other things. And I was thinking about getting here and she was thinking about stuff that needed doing. And it's very easy to lose your peace. And that's what the enemy wants, because when he's got you in that state, you're not doing anything else. That's why this is important. That's why the Bible talks about it. Peace with your neighbors. There's a blooming show just about to be on the telly about the most horrible neighbors. Oh, give me a break. You know? Look, I understand it's difficult if you've got a neighbor who's playing, you know, reggae music at 2 a.m. But why not get yourself invited to the party? That's the best thing to do, you know? Get a relationship. Go and talk about it. Don't argue. Don't put up a big offense. You know, it's about relationship. You know, maybe that you need to trim your trees or not grow a Leylandi hedge. Or, you know what I mean? It might be that actually just, as much as it's in your power, make every effort. Are you making every effort to live at peace with your neighbors? Sometimes it's impossible, but God can give you a key on how to do it. And just standing on your rightness of how right you are is not what the Bible's about. You know, God gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. The proud says, I'm right, I do it my way, my way's best. And look out. You know, people are watching. That's one of those dandelions that the neighborhood will go, oh yeah, that's that Christian in number 7 who no one likes and he doesn't like anyone else. You know, that's not what it should be like. We should be a blessing to our communities and to our neighborhoods and to our towns and our communities and our nations. Then there's the church. You know, the wider church body. Be at peace. Someone said to me, I read a blog, and it was things about, I wish someone had said this to me at church. And one of the things, the top things were that the other churches in the town were part of the body of Christ. It wasn't just us. We weren't right, and this wasn't just it. This was a teenager or someone who'd grown up who said, I wish someone had told me that it was okay to like the Catholics, or the Baptists, or the Methodists, or whatever other brand of flavor of the body of Christ. We are really blessed in this town to have so many churches per se and so many churches working together. We've just got a new vicar who's moved in, Trevor and Alison, they're taking over a priest in charge at St. Andrew's and St. Peter's particularly. And they're a blessing. They've just, God's brought the right people here. And St. Andrew's have hung out for the right people, and I believe he's the right person. We were there, his installation, and St. Andrew's, we want to bless that church. God's got to do something in your heart for you to really want the churches, other churches to prosper. It's supernatural, okay? But when he's done it, nothing will stop you. Because when we pray for revival, are we praying for this church or are we praying for all of them? Or would we be as happy that revival broke out in St. Andrew's as if it broke out here? Oh no, we'd like our meetings to be full. That's not the body of Christ. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God. You do what you do, and we will be so blessed that if you, and it's not, yeah, we'll set that church on fire so they'll agree with us. We might get some of them filled with the Spirit, you know? That's just Pentecostal pride. I pray earnestly that people find and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because it enlivens their life. But you can't sit here saying we're better Christians because we can speak in tongues. I know some awful people who can speak in tongues. You know what I mean? The gifts of God are irrevocable. You get them filled with the Spirit and that's it. And then, you know, they can still speak in tongues. They can babble away. Great. But their lives aren't living it. So that's not about what it's about. It's about the kingdom of God. Anthony is the new man in the Baptist church. And again, next weekend, Peter's involved in being part of that, in the Baptist church, him being part of that. And I'm, you know, the Baptist church, I was more excited about the Baptist church being built than Phil was. I was down there visiting the site, having a look at it, looking at the plans. You know, it was amazing. You know, yes, they their heart for Clevedon, saying we want to stay in the middle of the town. Many people don't know, but they were offered a lot of money for that site to leave it, so that they could put shops in there. And they said, "We'll build you a new purpose-built place out on the edges of town." And they said, "No, our calling is to the heart of the church." And they're there. And there's a brand new building. And it's hard work. It used to be one key. If you needed a Baptist church, you got the key. You know? And you went in there and no one cared. And you locked it up afterwards. Now it's multi-million pound alarm systems. It needs 10 stewards and 15 other people and the lights. And so when they give it to other people, it involves work. They're serving the community by just opening it up over and over again. And we're blessed by them there. You know, you see this pattern in the Bible, in the Old Testament, because there were the tribes of Israel, 12 tribes. But when God started talking about how they should be formed and how should they should work together, one thing he did was start to talk about unity. And so the priests who worshipped, who were allowed to go into the most holy place and come before God, had to wear a breastplate. And on that breastplate were 12 stones. Now, each one of those stones was a different color. If you read it in the NIV, you'll see them described as certain, you know, sapphire and certain gemstones. But actually, they don't know what stones they were. All they can say for certain is that they were representative of each of the banners and the colors of the banners that the Israelites used. So each of the 12 tribes had a different color, and each of those colors was represented by a stone, including Benjamin at the end. What was it, Joseph? No, it must have been Joseph. Benjamin, which was multicolored. Yeah, Joseph, I know. I won't get too technical. But what that meant was that they had the names of each of the tribes inscribed on those stones. And it says that they were on their heart, that God wanted the tribes on the priest's heart. Because the priest came from one tribe, which were Levites. But they couldn't come before God unless they had all of the tribes on their heart. And I believe that God, when we go into his presence, he wants us to have all of the churches on our heart. He wants us to have all of the community on our heart. He wants us, you know, Christ Church, the redevelopment up there, absolutely fantastic. You know, fit for purpose. It's brilliant. The guys were up there on Tuesday praying for the Alpha course. Apparently, CTIC churches together in Cleveland got a mention from Holy Trinity, from the live feed from Holy Trinity. So, whoop whoop for Cleveland. So, but it's a great place, and it's just excellent. Again, absolutely delighted. And they're working together. They're in ecumenical partnership. It would have taken years to get the head offices of the Methodists and the Anglicans together to talk about how they could work together. But basically, when Linden Road was falling down and requiring huge amounts of money to keep it up, the guys just came together and said, "This is crazy. We should be worshiping together. We're going to sell our building and we're going to put our money into being together." And so it's Christ Church, and God loves that. And he's blessing them greatly. You know, kids running around all over the place. It's fantastic. So that's what it means. Yes, there are tribes, but we're not supposed to be tribal. We're supposed to be living together in peace, celebrating our differences, celebrating the uniqueness. I don't want everyone to be the same. I mean, it's dull, you know. I sometimes even think God kind of takes a deep sigh on a Sunday and goes, "When I got creative, I made all of this, you know. Infinite colors, infinite variety. When you got creative, church turned out pretty much the same everywhere in the entire world." And, you know, I love it when people come out with different expressions of what church could and should be. Because it is about relationships. And if it is, and we're not doing stuff that help people with relationships, then we need to change. And we need to do things differently so that we build relationships one with another. In Ephesians and chapter 2, there's a great passage from reading from 14. And this is about the Jews and the Gentiles, because when we come back to the time when Jesus arrived, you've got the Jews who are saying, "We're it, we're the promised people, and the rest of you, boom, you're out of it." And one of the things that outraged people about what Jesus said was Jesus said, "I'm here for everyone. First of all, the Jews, but it will spread to the whole world." When they tried to push him off the cliff, it says they were amazed at his gracious words. Well, actually, that's a bit odd, because why were they trying to throw him off a cliff? What they were saying was they were outraged at the grace that he was giving to everyone else. That's why he loved taking the Samaritans, and he loved using women and prostitutes and lawyers and tax collectors and everyone who everyone reviled and hated, and saying, "I'm here for them. I'm here for them. I'm here for them." And it took a long while for them to get it. But when they did get it, you get this, which is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostilities. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I believe that God lives by his Spirit in a dwelling that's made with more than just us. That actually, as a town, he wants to pour his Spirit into his church, which will be made up of all of the churches and people who own that name and are built together. And we won't be able to say, well, we're the ones who are holding it up, really. You know, when you go in and you see four pillars in a building, this thing doesn't really have too many pillars. It has some steel thing. But if you see out a couple of pillars, well, which ones are holding them up? That's why when Paul went back to Jerusalem, he said, I looked for those who appeared to be pillars in the church. Those who are holding the church up. It wasn't obvious who it was. And so it shouldn't be obvious who's doing what. When we do, the reason why we love doing things as churches together, because it's not obvious who's doing what. Some people don't have the resources that we have, so we can throw resources in. But they have people who've got a great heart. Some people are praying. We're doing stuff together under the banner of churches together. Some people would like it to be renamed the church in Clevedon. And I understand that. Unfortunately, it doesn't, for the general population, they probably don't understand that. But it is the church in Clevedon. His heart is for the church. Funnily enough, this passage, Tanya and I were traveling a very long time ago through Africa. And when we started traveling in Africa, we thought we'd better buy the guidebook. Now, guidebooks are great. But they have their downsides, because the problem with the guidebook is that you just go to everything that's in the guidebook. So you don't necessarily explore and find out for yourself. You just do, but it's good because you don't miss things. So we were on the plane and someone said, are you going to Zanzibar? I thought, you're joking. That's something off the Muppets, isn't it? The Zanzibarbarians? Is there such a place? Thought, before I sound stupid, get out the guidebook. You know, oh, Zanzibar, quick read, expert. Yeah, we're going to Zanzibar, yeah, sure we are. So off we went to Zanzibar. Someone said, you're going to Livingstonia? Thought, made up name. You see, when Livingston and Stanley and the missionaries who were attempting to, save the dark heart of Africa, they all started off in Zanzibar. They came and that's where they got themselves sorted, and then they jumped across and went in through Tanzania, Kenya, what it is now, through into Lake Tanganyika and all of those places in there. Anyway, on the way, Livingston got a mountain named after him. Okay, so we thought, we'll climb up the mountain. So we slogged up this mountain, classic schoolboy era. The guidebook says a four-hour trek, and you think you should double that, you know. We were still slogging up this mountain. Oh, it was going on for hours, and there was a miracle of provision along that. But when we got to the top, lo and behold, laid out in stones was this passage. And I thought, what's that all about? Well, what it was about was that there was suddenly a great problem between the missionaries and the locals, and people were getting killed, and they were told, this group who were on the top of this mountain were told, we're coming to get you, we're going to fly in and get you out because you're going to be attacked. And they put this verse on there that says, you know, the wall of hostility has been taken down between us because we have the same God, because he has become our peace. And they laid it out in stones, and as they overflew it, they saw that and thought, they're okay. And, you know, I want us as a church to demonstrate how much we love the other churches in the town, you know? And it's only something God can give you. It's, you know, he can put them on your heart. And you'll find yourself wanting to see them blessed, wanting to see them prosper. The Salvation Army, we've got Michael and Rebecca Eden, who some of you might have seen. And the Salvation Army want a new building because he's come down. He's a full-time, William before that was part-time and or half-time. It's a full-time post, and he's full of passion. I want to see them get a building. I want to see them get somewhere where they can reach out to the community. They do great work. They job clubs. They're connected with the Department of Work and Pensions. They're getting the food bank are connecting with them. They are a great organization that touches the community. And you know what? I don't want them. I want them doing that. I prefer them not to be out rattling tins on street corners. I think, God, provide everything they need, you know, because I want to see them blessed. I want to see this as a model of what it is to work together, and that is my heart and my passion. And we're involved all along. The Tides Festival yesterday, we had a tent, three churches in the town, but others were involved in supplying youth work to the festival that was going on there. And we were just a presence. We were handing out leaflets saying, we're the church and we're involved. We're not hiding away. And that's my heart for us and the community. As we're down there today, we're going to have a picnic. Salvation Army Band are going to come down and play. And we're just going to enjoy hearing them do what they do. But get to know them. Talk to people. You know, there are brothers and sisters in Christ, and certainly we should be at peace. Get other churches on your heart. Live at peace. Someone said to me this week, hating people takes up a lot of energy. A lot of the wrong kind of energy. Being out of sorts with people just drains your energy. It's like shortcutting a battery. If you can be at peace with all men, actually you'll find that you've got resources. Don't be a dandelion of dissension. Do you like that? Think of that. And then next time you see a dandelion, if you see it in my garden, do me a favor, pull it out, okay? But if you see it anywhere else, think, that's not me. Make an effort. That's what it says. Make an effort. One last scripture, Romans. And you can find these things all the way through the Bible. Same thing virtually said in exactly the same way. Romans 12, verse 9 to 18 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you want a world at peace, that your kingdom is not one of strife or war or conflict or disagreement, but it is peace. And Father, first of all, sometimes it requires us to say, not my will be done, but yours. Not my opinion be done, but yours. Not my good idea, but yours. And Father, I just want to pray a blessing on each of us here, that we would learn what it is to be at peace with each other. In spite of provocation, in spite of being unjustly accused, in spite of being treated badly, in spite of being ignored, in spite, all of the things you took, and you dealt with. And Jesus, you walked through it, giving and giving and giving. And so, Father, we just want to be those who can bless and not curse, who can be generous and give peace and forgiveness and love to ourselves, to our families, to the church, to the community, to this nation. And Father, I just pray that I thank you for what you're doing in Clevedon and continue to do in Clevedon. I thank you that as we actively do what we do, it enables you to do what you do. As we dwell together in unity, then you are able to command a blessing. And I thank you for that blessing that you've commanded. I thank you that it will overflow into every strata of life. Thank you that these schools are being blessed because of it. Thank you that our crime rates will be reduced because of it. Thank you that Lord, this town will be known as a place of unity and love and peace. And Father, I thank you that it will be a place where people can feel and sense the tangible presence of God. That as they enter the boundaries of this town, they would go, something is different here. And Father, that would cause them to start searching for you and searching for the source of peace, for the source of life, for the source of joy. And Father, may we be those who are able to easily say and be identifiable by the fact that we are those who are delivering your kingdom to this community. Thank you that you're building your church. It's not our church and our programs and our things and stuff that's going to make us look good. Father, we want to be about building what will make you look good. And I just pray that you touch our hearts more than anything else. Give us a supernatural love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be those who constantly make for peace. Don't get drawn into petty arguments or get divided by theological differences. But Father, we would see beyond that and see that we are in you. The wall of hostilities are broken down. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.